Come Easy Go podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett. This is episode number 48, and I'd like to wish everybody a happy new year for 2022 and hope your year is prosperous and healthful. And today we've got a guy who was a fine athlete, a great college coach, great coach at all levels, clinician, camp director, athletic director, basketball analyst, and we can go on and on. But we want to welcome Bob Bowen, the former coach at Mountain State University. Bob, glad to have you, buddy.
Wayne, glad to be here. Thank you for having me today.
Listen, let's go back to the beginning. How did you get started in basketball? I'm assuming your dad got you going.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, my dad ran the YMCA, and I know you worked for him, and I got to know you when I was a young kid. But, yeah, I got started in basketball at a young age at the Y, and, you know, what a dream childhood. When your dad runs the YMCA, it's like you're rich. You have a key to a gym and a boxing ring and a ping pong table and a pool table, and you thought you had everything. But that's where I got my start, was just he and I in the gym all the time. We actually lived there a couple times when we were between houses moving, and it was a great way to grow up.
At what age did you first get into organized ball? I mean, playing games.
I'd say it was up there in y'all's league, probably five.
Five?
4 or 5 years old in the Itty Bitty League at the Beckley Y. And you probably couldn't get into your seven, but my dad ran the league, so I got in at five.
Now, you grew up, mostly growing up on Rollingwood Drive, and went to Maxwell Hill grade school. And who was your coach at Maxwell Hill?
Same guy.
Dad.
And
I knew he coached your brother.
Yeah. Well, when we were in the sixth grade, back then it went to sixth grade.
Yeah.
And we were 20-0. We won the county championship, and he was the coach.
Who were some of the teammates?
Oh, Bo Green and Randy Mornhout. Randy Mornhout was 6 foot, 210 pounds in the sixth grade. So I don't know if we won it or he won it. He was our Shaq. Mark Mullins, Richie Smith, that was our starting five right there.
So then you went to Beckley Junior High, and who was your coaches in Beckley Junior High?
I had Wayne Bennett in football. I mean, Wayne Bennett. Wayne Pierce in football, and I was just thinking about all those teams you coached, Wayne. They were so good when we were apart, but he was in football, and then Coach Richmond, Jack Richmond, was the basketball coach there. And I'll just tell the truth. I was really good when I was little. I mean, really, really good. Like MVP of every tournament. And then got into the seventh grade and everybody caught me at once.
Started catching up.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, I thought I was going to be Larry Bird. And then all of a sudden, about the seventh grade, I was young for my grade, but everybody, you know, it seemed like everybody caught me in junior high.
Now, Jack was a, well, Wayne was too. Both of them are tremendous athletes. Jack was played midget league football when I did. He was little, he was a year older, I think, and he was played our quarterback. He was our quarterback and a tremendous athlete for Shady Spring High School, and he was a pretty good football coach too. But now, what about you said you played football and basketball? Did you play any other sports?
Yeah, football. I meant to say Wayne Peters. I've never put his first name with his last name. I was scared of him. Coach Peters, yes, played football all the way until high school.
Did you play baseball?
Yeah, when I was real young. Yeah.
Did them all that.
Yeah.
Now, when you got into high school, did you play for Jackie Joe and Gary Nichols?
Yes. Yeah, Jackie Joe was when I was a sophomore. And then junior and senior year was Gary Nichols.
Now, you graduated in 81. That team, that was Bo Green. He went with you all the way. And Dennis Goodson and Steve Jones. And you guys kind of had spread the points around. Y'all was kind of a – you didn't have a real prolific score so much. But I think you, from what I've – I think you averaged about a little bit less than 10 points a game yourself.
Yeah, well, that was 11.2. They put two games in there that when I was injured and out. But
oh.
It was over 11, but Dennis Goodson was a big scorer on that team. He was probably around 14, and Bo Green was probably around 14, and Steve Jones had graduated the year before. Oh. But then Stevie Kidd was at the point, and he distributed the ball, and we did. You're exactly right. Had balanced scoring all the way around, and that was a fun way to play. Everybody touched the ball. Everybody scored. And Stevie Kidd was such a good distributor that you always had open
shots. Well, he
was
a junior, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a junior.
Now, when you got into sectionals, ran into Oak Hill, is that who you – and yeah. I mean, they were a nemesis back then.
Yeah.
I think they won that section a couple years in a row.
Yeah. Well, my junior year, we didn't know who won until the next day. We tipped one in at the buzzer. And they put it on the scoreboard at the Fed County Armory, and the place was sold out. And everybody on our team ran on the court and thought we had won the game. They put the score up, and we're out there celebrating for about 3 minutes. And then they took the 2 points off, but the referees were gone. The referees ran to the dressing room.
I remember that.
And Gary Harding, rest his soul, was the scorekeeper. And the scorekeeper at the Fed County Armory sat in the middle between the two bleachers, the upper deck and the lower deck. And so he had all those Oak Hill people turn and looked at him after he put the points on the board, and he might have got killed. And so he took the point. We're celebrating on the court. He took the points off the board. Their whole stands ran onto the court, and everybody started fighting everywhere. And we had to get off the court, and we were in the dressing room. We didn't know who won the game. And so I remember Preach Wiseman coming down there to Coach Nichols and throwing a fit, and we're just sitting there. So they went to go get the referees. The referees were gone. They grabbed their stuff and got in their car and got out there.
Wow.
And then the next day, they put it on TV with the screen in the bottom, and we had 9 seconds when we took the ball out, and it was 8.13 when we tipped it, when they put the timer in it. So they said the scoreboard, there was 13 out of 100 chances we lost and 87 that we won. And they declared them the winner. You know, the scorekeeper took those points off the board. So that was a crazy junior year. And then senior year, we had beat Princeton, and they were number one in the state. North Fork came to Beckley, 15-0. We beat them, and both of them went on to win the state championship. And then we lost to Oak Hill in the sectional. Just didn't. I mean, just tell like it didn't come to play.
So what are they? It's new season. And many years, like Stevie and I talked before, that the state championship might have been decided in the sectionals, you know, with Oak Hill and then later on, Greenbrier East. And
if it was like it is now, we would have got to play in Charleston. But my 3 years of high school, Princeton won it my sophomore and senior year. And then junior year, they got to the Final Four. And that's the last time they won one. It was 40 years ago. It may have been, they've only been once since then, but they were really good, really good.
Well, then after high school, you went to Glenville State, and how long were you there?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. Mm-hmm. And what was your experience there at Glenville State?
Oh, gosh, I loved it. I just couldn't get off the bench. I enjoyed Glenville, had a good time, and Jess Lilly, another Oak Hill person, he was coaching there, and I think my freshman year, I scored 5 points in 4 games, or 4 points in 5 games. I don't want to cheat a point, but didn't get to play very much, and went back my sophomore year and thought I was going to get to play, and we played the Chinese Olympic team in a scrimmage. I think I played about 5 minutes, and you know, I thought I should have been playing. And I went and talked to the coach, and he said, boy, I just like you, but I don't know if you rebound good enough to be a 3 and don't know if you handle it good enough to be a 2. And I just said, well, I think I'm better than anybody on the team. And so that's when I transferred, and I did score 29 against them, and we beat them when I got to play them again. But that was a good experience. I didn't hold any grudges. You know, freshman year I was playing behind some really, really good players.
Yeah.
And, you know, 18-year-old, 17-year-old, I was playing against 22-year-olds. I kind of understood it. But sophomore year, I was ready to play a little bit.
So you ended up going to Bluefield State. That's where Ron Kidd had been. I guess he kind of helped you steer that direction.
Yes, he did.
And Terry Brown, was that the coach?
Yeah, that was.
And but when you got down there, though, you're still the new guy, and you got to break into the lineup. How long did it take you to?
Just a year, a sophomore year. I played. I got to play 15 minutes a game, 10 minutes a game, and contributed and had a good time, really good team. And then junior years when I started to shine. Funny story about that sophomore year. We went to Glenville. And I never played, but everybody in the place knew me. I mean, I guess everybody on campus knew me, and I thought, well, I never played. They won't remember. And I didn't start. And I went to the scorer's table with 14 minutes to go in the first half, and the whole place stood up and booed.
Really? And,
oh, yeah. So they remembered me. I guess they booed because I transferred. And after the game, I had 50 guys, football players, guys and girls, waiting for me outside the dressing room. It was fun. But I was going to shut them up first time I touched the ball. And that was the first year of the three-point line. First time I touched it, I was behind the three-point, and I was getting ready to knock it down and shut the crowd up, and I shot an air ball. And, boy, they had fun with that. And I don't know if I scored or if I scored two, but we won. It was the next year when they came to Bluefield when I got 29, and we beat them bad. But I wanted to do really well in that game, but it didn't turn out that way.
Now, some of the guys you played with at Bluefield State, there was was there a Bolden guy?
Yeah, James Bolden out of Virginia Beach.
And there was an Akers, younger Akers guy, I think.
That was Rick Akers that ended up, he passed away now, but he ended up playing. He came in there like midway through my sophomore year. And I remember the guys laughing and said, Terry Brown brought a savior in here, 6'4", and can't touch the rim. And he didn't play much then, and he ended up being all-conference and worked really hard. He kind of went and played after I was gone. James DeWitt from Princeton was real good, and a guy named Roy Banjo Man.
Yeah. I remember that name.
Yeah, he was a really good player on those Bluefield State teams.
Now, I know earlier, back in the day, when I used to go watch Beckley College, and, of course, Tommy Pritchard, I think, had played at Bluefield State. And Alonzo Murphy had left Beckley College and went to Bluefield State, and then they usually had some pretty good individuals. And I know one of the games, was that your best game against Glenville State? Was that the best game you played in the years?
Or? I had a couple of senior years. May have been a little better, but it was a good one. Uh-huh. Yeah. Last week of my senior year, I think I had 29 and 230s. I got better in college. I kept getting better, kept working, kept practicing. And, I thought pretty average. I got to go to Australia on a team the summer before my senior year. And we played so much in Australia, and we got to play against their pro teams.
Oh, wow.
And they picked 8 people from the West Virginia Conference to go on a tour of Australia. And I was fortunate enough to do that with some really, really good players. Keith Tyler ended up playing in the CBA, played a little bit with the Lakers. But it was a good team, and I think that just going over there and playing so much high level that year really helped before my senior year.
Now, your last game of your career, and as far as college, you guys were playing in the state West Virginia Conference, I guess, against West Virginia State.
Yeah,
they had a couple 7-footers, I think. And but you had 12 that day,
yeah.
I think, and
yeah.
that's kind of ended your. And they actually were number 2 in the conference, and so they weren't a bad team.
Oh yeah, and I was coming off of the best week of my life. I think it was 28, 29, and 30, the last week of my senior year. And then to go in there, and they were just so good defensively. They were keying on me. I didn't get many shots off, and they were just really good. And I had played real well against them earlier in the year. I had over 20. And then that game, when I came out, they had a guy named Ronnie Leggett, who was an All-American. He was about 6'1". He was the fastest guy in the conference. And I remember at the tip, he said, I got him, and I'm not helping anybody. And, boy, he was everywhere I went, he was on me. It was a hard night.
Well, you were also a pretty prolific foul shooter, too. I know one time you were one of the top foul shooters in the league, and 91, 92, 93%, something like that. I don't know what your best percentage was, but that's one thing I never could figure out about some of these guys that played college ball or pro ball. And they played all their life, but they still can't shoot foul shots.
Yeah.
And I never could understand that. And some of them just don't have the touch, I guess.
Yeah.
So after you left, after you graduated from Bluefield State, of course you played some summer ball and open leagues.
Oh, yeah.
Even when your early coaching days, didn't you?
Yeah, that was really big time basketball over here then.
Yeah.
I mean, Virginia Tech would bring their team up here, and I played with Stevie and Ron, and Bimbo Coles would come there with the team, and boy, we used to kick all of them. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think you guys didn't lose a game for several years.
Oh, several years, yeah. That was fun.
And but you took a job at Park.
Yep.
And when you took that job, you were a math teacher, and you got the basketball job right away.
Yeah.
Who had been the basketball coach?
Ron Cantley.
Had been the basketball coach. That's right. He got into administration. And how long were you at Park?
2 years.
Just 2 years?
Yeah. Well, I taught there for 7, but I was the coach there for 2.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went. Then I went to Woodrow for 5.
I forgot about that. And you helped me coach track 1 year, then you took it over after that.
Suckered me into that. That was fun, though.
Yeah, it was pretty crude back then, but we didn't do too bad. But when you were there at Park, it was really kind of special, though. We had a good group of guys, and we very competitive bunch. We were in a corporate fitness competition at the Y, and I don't know what all events they had. They had like weightlifting, 3-on-3 basketball, table tennis, swimming, running. I don't know, but we had a pretty good bunch of guys, man. Me and you and Dick Davis, he played table tennis with you, and you and Ron in basketball, Jim Mahalik weightlifting and swimming, I think. But we won that thing.
Oh, that was fun. I forget. That was fun. That was. We kind of dominated that.
Yeah, they actually start changing the rules because we started dominating. They made a classification just for schools.
Yeah.
Because we were in there with all the businesses and everything. And some people started complaining. And so we always had a team that played the ninth graders at the end of the season and just kind of do that as a fundraiser. But 1 year, I thought we'd make some money at this. We had a tournament where each school had a team, and we invited Sophia or Independence and Beckley, or it was Stratton at that time, and Woodrow, I think. But we had 4 teams. We had a basketball tournament with just the faculty only, and I thought people would come out and watch it. I don't think anybody. But we won that one.
Yeah, we did.
But that didn't. I don't think we had enough money to pay the referees, but just one of them things. But when you were at Park, you had some pretty good ball players went through there.
Oh, goodness. Every one of those kids that played varsity ended up winning a state championship at Woodrow. And I was there 2 years, and the first year we went 16-1. I still have the tape of that one loss. I still have the old VHS, Shady in the championship, and we had beaten them both times in the regular season. And they had Bruce Martin, and he was so good. I mean, that Park team could have competed single A for the state championship in high school. I mean, that was Tink Brown, Chris Daniels, Robbie Wooten. Kevin English should have been on that team, and we would have beat everybody by 30. But he moved away to Fork Union and came back and wasn't eligible. And, that team was loaded. And then the next year, Ryan Colasurto came there as a 7th grader. And big stink there. His mom worked at Stratton, and they all said he was ineligible. And there was a little rule in there that said if your feeder school was in the limits of your junior high, you were eligible. And St. Francis is where he went, and it was in ours. And everybody was upset because he came there. But I was fortunate enough to coach some really good kids for 2 years. And, that was fun. And then got to coach all of them again when they got to Woodrow.
Now, when you moved to Woodrow, you were still coming about. When did you actually start teaching? Did you ever teach?
No, I always taught at Park.
You always taught at Bard. Yeah. Okay.
That's when they let you leave seventh period, and you could, you know, you didn't have to stay there, and I'd go home and change clothes real quick and go to Woodrow. It was, some of the 5 years was rough, Wayne. We would go, you got to realize at that time, Beckley hadn't won a state championship in 23 years. And my first year there, we were okay. But then the next four, we went to the state championship every year, and we won it three. And that's when I knew I was going to coach college, because we would go teach. We'd have to be there at, what, 6:45 in the morning or something. And then I'd get to run home and change clothes at 2 and go to Woodrow. And Barstow wanted to keep three teams. So we would practice one team 3 to 5, one team 5 to 7, one team 7 to 9. Well, it never worked out that way. We wouldn't finish till 10:15 at night. Then we would drive kids home. And I would go by my mom's house. I was single back then, and she'd have a plate of food and a plate with a Walmart bag like a dog. And I would circle by her house and get that food and get home about 11:20 in time to watch the sports and go to bed. And I thought, if I'm ever going to work that hard, I'm going to coach at the college level and make a little money. But that was rough.
Well, actually, when you had a game, that was a relief.
Oh, it was a relief. Or if we had parent-teacher conference, I was too happy we'd get a break. But it paid off. But that was, that was hard days there.
What about coaching under Barksdale? I mean, I watched him play when he was in high school. I went to every game back then. I'd buy season tickets. Of course, in those days, you know, schools like Richwood were triple A. Golly Bridge was a huge double A and had the Spicer brothers and had the Milroy boys from Richwood. And the culture of the teams changed. You had a lot of consolidation and all that. But Barksdale was the guy who, he wasn't the big scorer on the class of 62, but he was the guy that set the plays up, everything, and actually was one of the leaders for sure. What was it like coaching under him? I mean,
it was good. I mean, I thought we complimented each other. It was a fun time. We won a lot, and I believe I was his assistant for 5 years, and then he was my assistant for 11 years at Mountain State after that. And you know, those 5 years, he would give me a lot of responsibilities with the offense. And he would take the defense. Barstow was a real motivator. And, I mean, that was his big thing. And then he'd let me do the X's and O's on offense. And then he didn't want anybody touching the defense. He liked the defensive side of that ball. And it just kind of, it really worked out. And it was a good time, except for 8 hours a day after work. But, no, it was a real good time, and it worked out well. I enjoyed it.
Well, there was I don't want to get ahead of myself too much here, but also during the times that you were at Park, we had, you were the announcer at our football games, and of course that might have sparked your basketball analyst job now that you have, I don't know. But you did that for several years, announced the football games we had, and you got so accustomed to our offense, you started calling plays.
Wayne, that was so much fun. You know, it was $28, and I would announce, and my wife now, she was my girlfriend then, she would keep the clock. So we'd make $56 that night. We had a good time. And then plus, I was going to be at the game anyway. I loved what those teams were so good. I mean, they were tough teams. Looked like high school. Didn't look like junior high. Those were big time. They would hit. And I liked all the kids. So I was going to be there anyway. So I had a good time. I didn't know I would be doing it 30-some years down the road. But I had a really good time. And I would rather watch football any day of the week than basketball. I mean, I watch every NFL game. I've had the NFL packet. I mean, I watched 10 hours on Sunday. Yes, I mean, I love watching football. And those were really fun times.
Well, Coach Lambert, when he left Park, he went to Woodrow, and then he'd come over and help us some on Thursday nights, and he would he'd be up in the box, and he was familiar with the offense, and he'd send some plays down, and you know, we'd decide whether we're going to use them or not. But he was a lot of help. And then every once in a while, he'd say, Coach Bolin wants to call a play. I'd say, okay, what's he want to run?
Hey, that was only when you were up 30. I don't know if you remember this, but you were at Bluefield, and I wasn't doing the game. I was there, and I was sitting on the top row, and he was up there with the headphones on, and y'all were losing 21-20 with, I want to say, like a minute 30 to go, and you were out of timeouts. All they had to do was kneel on the ball, and they kept handing off running, and y'all were tackling them. And I said, Coach Lambert, I said, tell him to let him score. He said, what? I said, tell him to let him score. And Lambert looked at me like I was crazy. And then I was hollering him. I said, if they score, they get six. If you stop the 2-point, you still got a chance. I couldn't believe they wouldn't kneel on the ball. And they kept going down there. And I think finally, with about 30 seconds to go, they scored. And you had a chance to come back. And but I always liked the math of football. And, I didn't know anything about the plays. I never asked to call a play unless you were up 40. But I didn't know anything about that. But I always liked the strategy and the math involved at the end of a game. And as far as running a practice or doing something like that, it would have been really bad. But I really enjoy football.
Well, Bluefield was usually our big nemesis too. That was the game. If we win that game, we usually went undefeated. But a couple years there, we had Beckley Junior High was really good. They had Jody Wooten and Jonathan Frazier and Jerron Jones and that bunch, and those were good games. I mean, it wasn't blowouts. It would always come down to the last minute or two, and probably a reason I lost most of my hair at that time. But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed. Really enjoyed that age group, and when they went to middle school, I didn't want to coach anymore.
Yeah, you know, it was such a huge difference.
Yeah.
In ninth grade and eighth grade.
Yeah.
I mean, ninth graders are 15 years old. Some of them would have been starting for Woodrow, and so it was big time. Now, when it dropped down to eighth, you know, it was like kids. I mean, but those ninth graders that you had, Chris Gross and those, they hit like grown men.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even when I'm watching it today, there was such a difference. And I wouldn't have enjoyed coaching the eighth grade, but would have the ninth. I mean, that's the biggest year. I think from eighth to ninth is the biggest jump.
I think so, too. Well, and that's why I kind of lost interest. But during that time also, we were talking about this a little bit, but we had Bobby and Lisa were dating, and we had some puppies. We had a mother who died tragically, and we had some 1 week old puppies. Had six of them, and you guys used to come over and help us. Man, we had to feed them things every 2 hours and hold them and get them to use the bathroom. And I took them to school, and Diane's sister, Dorena, took them to work, to the doctor's office. And the vet even told us, said, the chance of you raising them puppies and all of them living ain't going to happen. And every one of them lived, and we gave them all away. If you hadn't been single, you'd have probably took one of them.
Oh, I would have. I tell you what, you and I both have a soft spot for those dogs.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, a terrible one, and I still got it to this day.
I know. I think about the tragedy with their mom and those dogs. We had one of them lived to be 11, and then the other one lived to be 14, and they were great. The two we kept were beautiful dogs, but it was a lot of fun, and it was fun you guys coming over. But Bob, we got a lot to talk about, and we're running out of time.
No way.
And so you got to come back. Oh, I mean, we haven't even got into the college coaching yet.
Right? I can't believe that's 30 minutes. We go back so far. I mean, we go back a long ways and a lot of fun times.
Man to come on here sometime, too.
Oh, he would love it. I think he would love it.
The Kilsyth Killer.
Oh, that's what he still is. Hey, he turns 80 next month, and he's still the Kilsyth Killer.
Well, can I get you back?
I would love to come back.
All right, man. That's the date. We'll work something out here, and sure appreciate you. And, you know, we always consider the Bolin family our friends. And And anybody else that wants to be on the show, man, we'd be glad to have you. Just you can do look us up on Facebook, Wayne Bennett Podcast, or you can email me, awbennett50@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you. Everybody's got a story. And remember, until next time, if you ain't dead yet, you ain't done yet. God bless you.
Bye.